Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 17. God is listening to you. Will you do His will? Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on April 15th, 2018.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome into God's presence. In Jesus' name. This morning we're continuing a series that we've begun called Theology Made Easy. I don't know if theology is ever easy, but God is an awesome God. And there are a lot of like small lines in the Bible in various encounters that Jesus had with people where people had a tremendous revelation of God and of His nature. And out of those small lines that they gave come tremendous revelation for us. And so that's what we're focusing on, and that's why we're calling it Theology Made Easy, because Jesus made it easy because He encountered these people. Praise the Lord. So this morning we're going to continue that, and I'm just starting with a couple of questions. What gets God's attention? What sets the works of God in motion? And who's responsible for initiating the works of God? Maybe we'll get some answers through the Word today. There's a picture on the screen of this little baby. This little baby was born with no eyes. Today we're going to talk about the story of the man that was born blind. Maybe without eyes in his socket. We don't know that for sure because the Bible doesn't really say. It's a condition called anathelmia. And it leaves a person blind for life. Even today, about 30 births in 10,000 are born this way, with no eyes in the socket, no eyeballs and no eye tissue in the socket. In the book of John, the ninth chapter, there's a story about the man who was born blind. And we're going to just look at and read that story right now. John chapter 9, starting with verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, His disciples asked Him, "Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God," or the New King James Version says, "the works of God could be seen in him." We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. And then no one can work. "But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, and he made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. His neighbors and the others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man called Jesus made mud and spread it over my eyes and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then he took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath day that Jesus made mud and healed him. The Pharisees asked the man about it, so he told them, "He put mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" So there was a deep division of opinion among them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he must be a prophet." The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind and could now see, so they called his parents. They asked them, "Is this your son? Was he born blind? If so, how can he see now?" His parents replied, "We know this is our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's why they said, "He's old enough, ask him." So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and told him, "God should get the glory for this because we know this man Jesus is a sinner." "I don't know whether he is a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this, I was blind and now I can see." "But what did he do?" they asked. "How did he heal you?" "Look," the man exclaimed, "I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they cursed him and said, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from." "Why, that's very strange," the man replied. "He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." "You were born a total sinner," they answered him. "Are you trying to teach us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." "You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, "I have entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind." Some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, "Are you saying we are blind?" "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty," Jesus replied. "But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." Yet in all this, Jesus embodied the character of God. He released the compassion of God to this man that was in darkness. The religious people, they rejected the nature of God. They refused to repent, and they determined to live in darkness themselves. But the man, twice healed, received and kept his physical miracle and stepped into a spiritual miracle. Father, we just pray this morning that you open our eyes to see. Lord, we don't want to be religious and blind. Lord, we don't want to be like those who are groping around in the darkness, Lord, looking for spiritual truth. But we want to be those whose eyes are wide open to your grace and to your glory. Thank you for that which you've already moved in this service. Thank you, Father, for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, revealing light and life and health and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, Lord, inside of us, Lord. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, now open our eyes to see your word and give us your download of not just inspiration or information, Lord, but of revelation today. And for it, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, there's a number of ways you could go with this story, just looking at the various characters and people that are involved in it. There's really kind of four main characters in the Bible in this story. The first one is Jesus, of course. Second one is the religious people. The third one is the blind. And the fourth really is the disciples, although they're kind of a minor player in this story. They're just observing, learning, and growing in the things of Jesus and recording these things for future reference. But when you look at the subject of this discourse, it's about really the nature of God, how he loves people, and how he wants people to have his grace and his glory manifested in their lives, and how he wants spiritual darkness to be destroyed in the lives of people. Not just spiritual darkness, but blindness of every kind to go. So many people are looking for truth, but they're looking in the wrong places and they don't find it. In our day, we have people searching, 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 and there's a never-ending supply of information on the web and other places, but yet people are in darkness. But Jesus came to bring the light. So we're going to take a look this morning at the three kind of main characters of this story and determine what does God want to speak to us through this, and especially pick up on the line that the blind man, the revelation that he had of God in this place. So first of all, let's look at Jesus. Jesus, he's the carrier of hope. He said, it was not because of the sins of this man or his parents. You know, people always want to blame someone or something. And I suppose the roots of this, the roots of the question were that the disciples asked him were really from the Old Testament, because the Bible says that the sins of the fathers were visited upon the children to three and four generations of those that hate God. And so Jesus just dispelled that with this guy's case. I mean, there probably could be some cases like that. And even in our own day, we can see some cases where there's generational stuff going on in people's lives, and curses can be brought down through the family line, and people just need deliverance and need the power and the presence of Jesus to set them free. But in this case, Jesus said it was not for this reason. It was not because of the sins. It was not because of his parents. He was just born blind. And the purpose, my purpose is that you should see, and this man should see, the power and the glory and the works of God in his life. So Jesus is a carrier of hope, and Jesus is still the carrier of hope. He's the hope for every kind of hopeless situation, every kind of hopeless circumstance that you might be facing, every kind of difficult challenge that you might be facing. Jesus is our hope. And Jesus, he just defies all the conventional wisdom. He says, this happens so the power of God can be seen in him. Who would have thought of that? They were all thinking about, well, it's got to be this or it's got to be that. And Jesus said, no, just look for the power of God. Look for the presence of God. When my kids were going to Bible school in Sweden at Livsord Bible School, when they were teaching them healing, one of the things that they always said after they prayed for people for healing, they said, look to the healing. Look to the healing. Now, it's just kind of a bad English translation of something that's more meaningful in Swedish. But essentially they were saying, don't look at the symptoms, don't look at the problems, don't look at the stuff that might be going on or the lies, and don't listen to the lies of the enemy, but look to the healing power of Jesus that's just been released in you, because it's yours now. Take it now. Look to the healing instead of looking to all these other things. And if you're struggling to keep your healing or to receive your healing, that's one of the key issues, is to begin to see yourself healed and well and whole, and not to see yourself in darkness or in the clutches of whatever that is that's tormented your life or gripped your life. Praise the Lord. So Jesus also, he spells out that healing is an assignment of the disciples. He says, we must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us. Did you notice he said, we and us? He didn't say, I must quickly carry out the assignment to me. He said, we must carry out the assignment to us. So we can see that the works of Jesus, the works of God that he wanted to see manifested in this man's life and in people's lives, has been passed on, has been assigned to those who are followers of him. He also spells out that healing is an that nothing is not even blindness will negate God's power, because he says, I am the light of the world. Now, if you think about that for a little while, you can remember that Jesus also, when he was speaking to his disciples, he said, you are to be light and salt in the earth. And so you're the city that's on the hill, that's not hidden, that everybody can see. And so we have that assignment, and nothing can stop. Nothing can stop the light of God from dispelling the blindness in people's lives if we take the presence of God and we take the Word of God and apply it to the situation, to the circumstance, and that when hearts are open to receive. The next thing we see is that Jesus did a recreative miracle with this man, a recreative miracle with mud. The Bible says he spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. Just like God created Adam out of the mud and breathed into him the life and presence that he had within himself, Jesus put the mud eyeballs in this guy's sockets and said, go wash. And the man came back seeing, a recreative miracle, a mighty recreative miracle of God. You know, sometimes people don't need healings, they need a miracle. This guy needed a miracle because he was born that way. He didn't get that way by getting sick or lose his eyesight gradually. He was born probably without eye tissue and no eyes in the sockets. So Jesus never leaves somebody on their own. You know, even when this guy got cursed by the Pharisees, the scribes, this, you know, they're cursing him and kicking him out. The Bible says that he looks for the outcast till he finds him. You need to know Jesus that way. If you're the one person out of the 100, he's going to leave the 99 and go after you to find you. And he found this man in darkness. He left the rest and went after that guy because that guy needed a miracle from God. And then finally, Jesus, the main player in this story, he calls out the Pharisees on their hypocrisy and their own blindness, their spiritual blindness. You know, we'll always have religious people around, and oftentimes they're worse for believers than the guys that are on the outside that have never come to Jesus. So let's take a look at the religious people, the second group in this story. The religious people, they discredited Jesus. They said, this man Jesus is not from God, for he's working on the Sabbath. So they were more interested in a written rule than they were in the blind man getting his sight. They couldn't rejoice in this tremendous recreative miracle of God because they were so focused on it didn't happen our way. It didn't happen under our rules. It didn't happen through our group. They just were religious, and everybody outside their group was wrong, and they are right. Same with religious people today. They discredited the testimony of the man. They refused to believe that this man had been blind and could now see. They had the man's testimony. They had the parents' testimony. Then they had the man's testimony again. And they had the testimony of all the people, said, that's the guy. He's the one. He was blind. Look, he can see. So against all the testimonies of people and of the man himself, they wouldn't believe. They refused to believe. They hardened their hearts to the things of God, and they hardened their hearts to the testimony of men. Sometimes, you know, we think, well, if people, you know, if they just saw a miracle of God, they'd change their heart. Well, maybe. But maybe not. It depends if they're just religious or not. Religion is a terrible thing. It keeps people in bondage, and it keeps them under some kind of leadership structure that puts a fence around them and says, don't go outside the fence. But you know, God is not in a box, and he won't be confined by the walls of our imagination, the walls of our religion, or our religiosity. He won't be confined by any aspect of man controlling him. He'll work outside the box every time. These men also began to revile Jesus. We know that Jesus is a sinner. When you're the ones throwing the stones, everybody else is wrong. They cursed the healed man and said, "You are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses." So they held up their sectarian view of the world as being the only view that anyone could have. They tried to intimidate this man. "You were born a total sinner. In other words, you're an illegitimate child. But we are disciples of Moses. Are you trying to teach us?" they said. And finally, they shunned this man and threw him out of the synagogue. That's religion at its best, ostracizing the guy who got one of the greatest miracles of the time, a miracle of God that could have inspired many to come to faith and come to believe in the God that they served. But they turned him out of the synagogue. "Don't come in our house. Don't come in our place." And finally, let's look at the blind man. Let's take a look at his theology, the theology of the revelation of theology. They had theology is just the study of God and his relation to the world. But this man had one of those God moments. In chapter 9, verse 30, it says, "Why, that's very strange," the man replied. "He healed my eyes, and you don't know where he comes from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it." So probably this guy would seem to be the most unlikely person to be a theologian, this former blind man. But he refused, first of all, just to look inside this guy, he refused to lose his miracle through unbelief. I mean, he was assailed by these guys to try to get him to recant. Either that he wasn't the blind man, or that, you know, it was a hoax, it was some kind of a made-up story, or that he didn't really receive this miracle from God, because they couldn't accept that Jesus would be the miracle worker. So, but he refused all of that to get into unbelief. He said, "But this I know, I was blind, and now I can see." So he stood fast on receiving his miracle and kept his miracle. He confronts their hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of these religious people. He said, "Do you want to become his disciple too?" I mean, this guy's got a sense of humor. I don't know, you know, he's born blind and hadn't seen anything in the world, but now he was seeing. And this sense of humor comes out of him. He says, "You want to be their disciples too?" Because he already knew they were putting pressure on him. And then he declares this profound, life-changing hope from the heart of the Father, that God is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. So many times people want to know if God has heard their prayers and if he's sending answers to their prayers. Most of the things we're praying to God for and asking God for and begging God for, he's already provided for us. It's not a matter of asking, it's a matter of receiving. Jesus said, "Ask and you will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you." Showing the heart of God to get things to people who come before him. And this guy had the revelation that he's ready to hear. He is ready to hear. He's listening. The question is, are we going to do his will? Because he said he's ready to hear and to worship him, and he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. So that reminds us of some other scriptures, which we'll come back to in a little bit, that God is looking for those whose heart is perfect towards him. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect for them, towards him. So God is looking for people. And oftentimes, you know, we're thinking, where is God when I need him? Where is he? I need him now. I need this now. But he's there all the time. Paul said, there's no way you can get away from God. You can't go to the depths, you can't go to the heights, you can't go in between, you can't climb the highest mountain. He's there. He's everywhere. And he's ready to hear and to listen to you if your heart is connecting with his heart. That man, that day, had a revelation of God. He recognizes Jesus' authority. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. So, a revelation and a recognition of who Jesus was. I mean, these Pharisees, they had studied to find who the Messiah was, and now he's standing in front of him, and they're so blind they can't see him. But this man, coming out of darkness, getting a revelation from God, comes to the place where he sees who Jesus is, and he confesses faith in Jesus and begins to worship him. What an awesome story of a man connecting with God and an encounter with Jesus. Just one encounter with Jesus will change your life forever. So let's believe God together. We're going to break up into small groups now just for a few minutes and talk about this scripture and just share with one another. But make some observations, put some application into your own life, and then pray for each other, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.